And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence tonight. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin. Thank you for this day, for the blessings, the mercies, the opportunities of it, all that we've been privileged to hear from this place. I pray now, Lord, that you will be pleased to touch thy servant. I pray for that special anointing. Illuminate my mind and loose my tongue, that the gospel may go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll speak to our hearts, those of us that are saved, encourage your people, edify your church, and should there be those among us that are strangers to your grace, I pray that this will be thy. They lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy and grace, peace and pardon with the Lord. All that you're pleased to do in this hour, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I do ask for your prayers. I'm still a little weak tonight, but I certainly do need the Lord's help. It's in my heart tonight to speak to you about the conversion of blind Bartimaeus. The providence of God brought Bartimaeus to Jericho, and grace brought Jesus to Bartimaeus. Amen. Jesus may pass through a town, and individuals remain lost, but for that one that cries for mercy, there's life eternal. Fanny Crosby wrote, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." I want to speak to you as we consider the conversion and the sight of Bartimaeus. I want to speak to you about his night, his fight, and his sight. You note his condition, of course. He was blind physically. And while it is a tragedy to be blind physically, unable to see with the natural eyes, I know that it's far worse to be blind spiritually. Amen. To be blind to the realities of God's grace and of God's truths. Fanny Crosby was blinded by a quack doctor when she was just a little child, who placed a mustard oil on her eyes and blinded her for the rest of her life. But once when Fanny Crosby was being interviewed, she was asked the question, "If you could have any wish granted, what would it be?" And that reporter was getting ready to write down that I might receive my sight. But to his astonishment, Fanny Crosby replied that I might remain blind. "For the first face I shall ever behold will be the face of my Lord." And she wrote, "Face to face with Christ my Savior, what will it be?" And so while it is a tragedy, a terrible tragedy, to be blind physically, even worse, even more tragic, is to be blind spiritually to the realities of God's grace and of God's salvation. The Bible says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 6 of that same chapter says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same God in Genesis 1:3 who said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same God that gives spiritual light. And unless God gives that light, men and women remain in their darkness forever. And finally, end up in eternal darkness, in the regions of the damned. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians 2 and 11 that we are by nature the children of wrath. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Amen. The apostle is saying, in order to understand human life, you must be human. In order to understand spiritual life, you must be spiritual. The natural man cannot understand nor comprehend the things of God. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now the language, the characteristic language of a blind person is, I can't see. I can't see. Have you ever met anybody who says, I see no need in being faithful to the Lord's church. I see no need in tithing. I see no need in reading the Bible. I see no need in evangelizing. And their constant expression is, I can't see. I don't see. I can't see. And they're right. Unless God opens their eyes, they will remain in spiritual darkness and in spiritual blindness. The reason that people cannot see is because they are spiritually blind. John Newton correctly wrote, I once was blind, but now I see. Life was dangerous because of Bartimaeus' condition. Because of that, he was a beggar. Life was difficult in those days. And of course, there was no assistance for the handicapped at all. And the only way, and the only means that Bartimaeus could survive was to go sit by a dusty roadside, hold out a tin cup or whatever, and beg and ask for the mercy of those that passed by. And of course, the circumstances today are nothing like that. But Bartimaeus lived a miserable life. What a horrible life. What a miserable life to go to bed in midnight blackness, wake up in midnight darkness, go sit by the same dusty roadside and do the same thing day in and day out, completely dependent on the mercy of those that pass by. I remind you that the sinner as well is without peace. But being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But because of the fact that Christ lives in our heart, He is the light of the world. He came to bring light. He is the light. And when God saved you, He flooded your heart with spiritual light. And the things of God will remain foolishness and will remain mysterious to those that are still in the darkness of their sins. But you notice concern. Now, while he was blind, he had heard, I'm sure, of the mighty miracles of Jesus of Nazareth. And I'm sure that he'd heard about the miracle up the mountain, less than 20 or 25 miles away, in a place called Bethany, how that Jesus went up to the tomb of a man who had been dead, lying in that tomb 4 days. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus, lying in that cold, hewn out sepulcher, lying on that cold slab of stone. But when Jesus called his name, he came hopping out. I guess he did. He floated out, but anyhow, he got out, mortuary apparel and all. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And I think that Bartimaeus must have heard of all the miracles that the Lord Jesus had been performing. Not only had he heard, but he determined. He thinks to himself, "If this stranger of Galilee ever passes my way, if he ever comes near where I am, I'm going to ask for my sight. If he ever comes near to me, I'm going to cry for a miracle." Now the truth is that a person will never be saved and they admit the fact that they're guilty, that they're condemned sinners in need of the mercy and the grace of God. Bartimaeus was blind, but he could still cry. You remember that there was a man on the other end of town that had another handicap, another problem. He was short, a little stature. And now imagine when Jesus, the news arrives that Jesus is passing through town. I imagine little Zacchaeus trying to get out in front to get a glimpse of Jesus. But because Zacchaeus was the despised, hated tax collector, I imagine those people formed a human chain. And when little Zac would try to get through, they'd block his way. When he'd try to run between their legs, they'd pull their legs together. But little Zacchaeus didn't stand and mutter and cuss because of his little stature. He was a little man, but a little man can climb a tree. And he meant to see Jesus. And when he climbed that tree, Jesus got right under his tree, right under the tree where Zacchaeus was. And Jesus said, "Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." I am glad he knew which tree to come to when he found me and in mercy and grace came to me. And so Bartimaeus determined. And then you think about his fight. Now there's always a struggle. There's always a battle. There's always war. When the devil is about to lose a soul. After all, that is the devil's business, to destroy and to damn every soul that he possibly can. And that is the business of the devil. And the devil is out to destroy. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And when a soul is about to be brought from darkness to light, there's always a battle. And so I'm sure that there was a battle raging in the heart of Bartimaeus as Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And sometimes, most of the time, just before a sinner is saved, they get meaner, more rebellious, more contrary than ever. After all, it would be a sorry devil who would not grieve over the loss of a soul. But as we think about his fight, look at his cry. He cried for the right thing. He cried for mercy. Now maybe Bartimaeus had wondered many times how he could ever get to Jesus. After all, who'd want to take time to fool with this poor blind man? Who'd want to take the trouble to get this man to Jesus? And I'm sure that he must have wondered who he could get to take him to Jesus. And there was no one. But Bartimaeus had determined in his heart that if Jesus ever passes my way, I'm going to ask for mercy. And then one day, Bartimaeus, in his blindness, hears the tramping of the multitude. And he hears the footsteps of the crowd. And he understands and hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He cried for mercy. And the only thing that a sinner can ask for is mercy. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. He cried to the right one. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is not a signpost to heaven. He is the way to heaven. He's the way. And there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Now you could go out by the highway side, sit by one of these signposts, and that signpost might say such and such a city, and I don't really have any idea where we're at, but if you could find some signpost and try to find the direction to some city, and you could sit by that signpost all night long, and in the morning you'd still be sitting by that same signpost, you hadn't got anywhere. The signpost does not get you to the city. It is just the directions to the city. Jesus is not the directions to the city. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can never arrive in the city unless you come through Jesus Christ. He cried to the right one, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I may have told you when I was here before, I can't remember. Sometimes preaching so much, I forget what I said, where I said it, when I said it, or if I did say it, or did I just mean to say it. But I was reading some years ago about a dear Native American out in your state, this state, Oklahoma. And the Lord had saved him. And he was trying to explain to his friend how the Lord had saved him. And his skeptic, infidelic friend said, tell me, just how did the Lord save you? And that dear brother gathered up a bunch of leaves and set those leaves on fire. And then he found a little worm and placed that worm in the middle of that burning ring of fire. The little worm moved to the north, the south, the east, the west direction, every direction. And finally, when there was no way to escape, that little worm just crawled up in the center of that burning ring of fire, getting ready to die. And about that time, that dear brother reached down, lifted that worm up, and set it free. And he said, that's how the Lord saved me. I was headed to the fire. And he reached down and lifted me up. Mountains of sin separated our souls between us and God. Mountains so high we cannot climb them. And oceans so deep and wide we cannot cross them. But I'm glad that when we could not get to him, he came to us. And he reached down in mercy and grace and lifted us up. He cried to the right one. He cried at the right time. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. This was the last time that Jesus would be passing through Jericho. And it was now or never. And he cried because he wanted his sight. That meant that Christ was on the move. And in a few minutes, Jesus would be out of range. And he would never pass through Jericho again. Oh, the mercy of God in the salvation of sinners. I was in near Detroit, Michigan many years ago to meet him. And one day the pastor took me to Henry Ford Museum in Greenfield Village. There are a lot of interesting things there. The chair that Abraham Lincoln was sitting in when he was assassinated, Ford's Theater, April of 1865. And at that time, the presidential limousine that John F. Kennedy was riding in when he was assassinated in Dallas was there as well. And a lot of interesting things. But Brother Brandon, I noticed one little glass tube and a little glass flask. And the caption beneath it said that tube, that capsule, contained the last breath of Thomas A. Edison. I wondered how in the world he got that breath in there. Just recently, a new book has been written on Edison, a biography. Edison died without hope. And he said he didn't believe in heaven or hell, and that he'd soon find out, and of course he did. Thomas A. Edison, if I remember correctly, had the patent on 10,000 inventions, and maybe more, but a humongous number. But anyhow, the night that Thomas Edison died, his friend and dear friend, Henry Ford, called the house and asked the wife or one of the boys or someone there to capture the last breath of Thomas Edison. And sure enough, he died the next morning. And I've always wondered how in the world you could capture the last breath. I kept staring at it. It looked empty to me. But on the other hand, I've never seen a breath. I don't know what a breath looks like. And I looked, but I declare it looked empty. But the sign said that it contained the last breath of Thomas Edison. And I thought, I'm sure that throughout eternity many times, Mr. Edison would be glad to be able to recapture that last breath. But God gives us our breath just one at a time. And for part of this, it was now or never. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is passing by, and he's on his way out of the town, and he'll never be back through Jericho again. You notice his critics. Now the crowd tried to shut him up, and Bartimaeus began to cry for mercy. The religious crowd, too busy running religious machinery, had no time for this poor blind man. And they said, "Shut up, old man. He has no time for you." And they did their best to silence him, but he kept crying. And he asked for mercy as Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And then there is his sight, his call. Now just as soon as Jesus stopped and called the blind man, of course Jesus heard him the first time, but when Jesus called the blind man, that same lousy lot, that same bunch said, who had just said, "Shut up, he don't have time for you." They were too busy running religious machinery. And he has no time for you. But as soon as Jesus called him, that same crowd said, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth thee." Now Bartimaeus didn't say, you bunch of hypocrites. A while ago you told me to shut up, and now you tell me to come and to get up. And I think I'll just remain blind. You're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, and because you're such old hypocrites, I'm going to stay here in this darkness and in my blindness. You just forget it. I'm not about to come. Oh, no. Hypocrites or no hypocrites. All that mattered was that Jesus of Nazareth was calling him. I want to tell you, when a sinner awakened to himself as a sinner, looks to the Lamb of God, there won't be a preacher crooked enough, a deacon mean enough, a church member low down enough to stop that individual from getting to God. When Jesus calls, his call. Jesus was on his last journey to Jerusalem. He was hurrying on to drink and to drain the cup of bitterness, to be mocked, to be spit upon, to be nailed to a cross, to be forsaken of God, to pour out his soul unto death, to bear the sin of many in his own body, and to secure the salvation of a countless multitude, and to vindicate God's truth. But with all that weight and that urgency on him, he stood still long enough to hear the cry of this poor blind man. Joshua prayed in the valley of Ajalon, and the sun in the sky stood still. Bartimaeus cried, and the son of righteousness stood still. The blind man told him that I might receive my sight. And then there was his coat. They might have gotten that garment out of a trash pile somewhere. But it represented who he was. It represented his character. But he got rid of every hindrance, because that garment might have tripped him up on his way to Christ. Your garment might be that of your oozy good feeling religion, your comfort in sin, pride, cast it aside. It's far better to cast your garment aside and flee to Jesus Christ, the anchor of the soul, his cure. He received his sight, and he used his sight to see his Lord. He was a man in a brand new world, and for the first time, he could see. But the thing that attracted him most was Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was not, as the pictures portray him, with a halo around his head. Just on very special occasions did his deity really shine through, such as when he was baptized and on the Mount of Transfigurations. Most of the time that his deity was clothed or covered by his humanity. But when this blind man received his sight, not only was there the beauty of the world that he'd never seen before, but that was the one who had saved him, the one who had brought him sight, and the one who delivered him. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus said, "Go thy way. Your faith has made you whole." But in reality, Bartimaeus said, "Uh-uh, I'm not letting you out of my sight." And he followed Jesus out of Jericho. Now, I'm not being picky, but in reality, I'm not on the Jericho Road. I'm on the Mount Zion Road, the heavenly Jerusalem Road. Jericho was the ancient Jericho was located beside the Dead Sea, close to the Dead Sea, as well as the new Jericho, the one that was rebuilt after the destruction when God brought the walls down as the Israelites marched around that ancient city. The Dead Sea is the lowest spot on this earth. And the only way to get to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, is to go up. If you go from the if you enter from the north, the south, the east, or the west, you have to go up. I remember once having the privilege to be in the Holy Land during Christmas time. And we went down to Jericho. It was like nearly 80 degrees. And by the time we got back to Jerusalem that night, it was snowing and sleeting. The only way to go to Mount Zion is to go up. And by the way, they're telling us that our churches should not sing and that we should not gather. We have a governor who has even said to be wise if the church did not sing. My response to that is let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, upward to Zion, a beautiful city of the living God. I'm not following Jesus down to destruction. I'm following Him up to the city of the living God. And all that I am and all that's good is through Jesus Christ. Like the blind man out wandered in the darkness of my sin. That old load of guilt I carried is all gone. Praise God, I'm free. Looking for that bright tomorrow where no tears shall ever fall. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by.